Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Let's begin this morning with a conversation about wealth planning and financial planning. Robert Legan is here. He's a Senior Vice President of Family Office Services at Whitnell, which is part of Associated Bank. Robert, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Steve.
We appreciate you coming in today because we have a conversation about passing on a business to someone or your family, and then also leaving that wealth, making sure that wealth goes on to your family as well. Before we get into that conversation, though, I want to let our listeners sort of get to know you a bit. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you do it.
I head the Family Office Services Group at Whitnell. In my role, I serve as strategic advisors to families. Often those families own family businesses that have been in the family for quite some time. And they're challenged by the issues that come with transferring the business either to the next generation or to a third party. So I serve as their strategic advisor, coordinating all their expert advisors on behalf of the family. Mm-hmm.
What are the trends in this area? If you had to pick headlines, is there the appropriate amount of planning going on? Are families aware of all of the things that need to be done, looking ahead to the future for the possibility that this might happen or that it will happen in the future?
Yes, I think there is a huge need for a lot of planning, and I think most family business owners are reluctant to plan because the only thing that they know is their business, and they like that control. And quite frankly, it's very hard thinking about the future, and it's a very complicated process. So without help, usually families just defer that until such time an event happens, which is either voluntary or involuntary in some cases. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would imagine that it's the same conversation that happens with us personally. We don't want to talk about someone dying.
No.
We don't want to talk about the possible disaster. And so we hope that it doesn't happen. And then sometimes we get caught when it does. And the situation can be kind of catastrophic in some cases, can't it?
It is. As an advisor to families, it's my job to kind of stimulate those conversations. So, usually whether it's in an annual meeting or a quarterly meeting, we try to inject business planning as part of the conversation and not just focus on their, liquid stock portfolio. And, that usually raises some issues and questions as food for thought, and really stimulates the conversations and ultimately the planning.
Take us into one of those conversations. Is it questions about who is going to be left in charge, how to do that, how to structure the wealth so that it passes along with the least amount of tax bite, that sort of thing?
Yes, it's all those aspects. Family business planning is really the intersection of personal planning. So for a business owner, if you did transition your business, what are you going to do? What does life after business look like? And for most folks, you only could golf so much, or you could only go on, so many vacations. So we encourage, family business owners to really start to think about what's next. It's also other personal goals, such as what sort of legacy do you want to leave for your family? Do you have charitable intentions? Is there an interest in keeping the business going on to the next generation? And then another aspect is the financial aspect. If you did transition the business either internally within your family or externally to a third party, what type of cash flow would you need to make sure that you could continue to live the lifestyle that you'd like to leave? And there's also lots of planning around potential state tax implications and other tax planning aspects from the technical standpoint. And then kind of the third leg of the planning is really the business planning. So I encourage families to think about succession planning as not as an event, but as a process. And if they could think about it more along the lines of strategic business planning, I think they could get their arms around it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I encourage them to think about strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities within the business that need to be mitigated, whether they decide to keep the business and grow it, whether they transition it to the next generation, or if they sell it to a third party. If they go through that process, inevitably the business will be worth more, regardless of the option that they choose.
So in a lot of ways, this sounds like it's a living sort of process, a living, breathing process. It's not something that you necessarily put on paper, leave it, and that's the end of it. It sounds like something that could evolve over time.
Yes, it should. Typically we encourage business owners to, look out, 2, 3, even 5 years before they think they're ready to transition their business, because there's a lot of moving parts. Planning for eventual succession goes across multiple disciplines. So there's the legal aspect of it, the tax aspect of it, the financial planning aspect. So it really warrants a team approach. And because of that, it takes a real long time. So while we do encourage the plan to be documented, it is a living document and often does change during the course of planning. Occasionally the business owner might think that, they have a family member that is in line to succeed, and a couple of years into the plan, their son or daughter decides, well, the family business is not for me. I want to travel, or I want to go into a different industry. And, the business owner sort of has to pivot from there and figure out the next best plan. And that's more typical than not.
Yeah. And another, you brought up the children part of this. I would imagine if you have a situation where the CEO of a company, the owner of a company, family company, decides that they want to leave the company to one sibling over another, just like with personal estates, there's going to be some sibling potential sibling rivalry there. Do you have to handle and deal with all of those things as well? Does that you play referee a little bit?
Yeah, it's tricky. Depending on the situation, we could kind of step in and play that role in very contentious situations. There's also experts that handle family dynamic issues and are experts in that realm. And sometimes we would bring that individual onto the team, to kind of mitigate those issues. But you bring up a very interesting challenge. If you have more than one child and one's continuing on in the business and two are not, what's fair, what's equal is certainly a challenging question.
You talk about bringing in the expertise for these different problems that come up. Is that one of the benefits of having an organization like Whitnell? You have these people as part of the team, so you don't have to go elsewhere to find them and bring all that in. It's the conversation that you can control.
Yes, that's correct. We typically in these engagements serve as the quarterback of the team, and we'll work with a family's existing advisors. And we could also bring in experts that we've worked with comfortably on these cases to play a role on these teams. And, we're experts in certain domains, but in the case of business succession, it really is a team approach, working on behalf of the client.
You also talked a little bit about the personal part of this. You talked about how much money might be needed, how much money you want to leave, how much money it's going to take to run those buildings. There are so many different personal aspects of this. How do you rank the most important of them, or do you sort of just attack them all at once?
That's a great question. I think the most challenging one for most business owners is really sort of that life after business plan, because eventually they could get their arms around the numbers. How much do I need to live and live a certain lifestyle? But when they've poured their blood, sweat, and tears into a business for 30, 35 years, oftentimes that's really all that they know. And it's challenging for them to have conversations around what's next, and really incorporate their entire family, their spouse or significant others, their children, their business partners to really talk about what would be next. So I think it's some of those soft issues that are actually the most challenging to address.
You know, in my mind, as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking of the worst case scenario, and that is a business owner dies.
Yes.
And that's triggers the transition. But what if the business owner is just deciding it's time to retire and pass the business on? Do you get to control what happens to your business after this transition happens, or do you really have to let go?
You know, that's a great question. Retirement obviously is one of the voluntary aspects of transitioning, and but that does require a lot of planning in terms of working with your business partners. If done right, the business partners would have what's called a buy-sell agreement in place,
mm-hmm.
and it would stipulate that if one partner would retire, how that retirement would happen. Mm-hmm. Would the other partner buy them out? Would it be at a discount? Would it be all up front or over a period of 10 years? So, all of those things have to be well planned out in advance. And if one of the partners just walked in the office one day and said, I've had enough, I want to retire, without a plan, his or her business partner is going to say, I may not be able to afford to buy you out, or, we can't continue the company without you. So it does warn a lot of forethought to do it the right way. Typically, once a partner retires, they could stipulate how much they're going to be involved in the business as part of that planning mm-hmm. effort.
How soon should this happen in the life of a business? Is it something that from day one this planning should be going on, or is it something that a more mature business would get involved in doing?
It typically depends upon the maturity of the business and the individual. I think in the best, well thought out cases, the business owner would kind of look at their own personal life cycle in terms of, how much energy, they're willing and able to put into the business for how long, and then, what are some of their personal goals and objectives, and then line that up with the business life cycle. And the best laid plans are ones that kind of marry the business life cycle with the personal life cycle to say, okay, I know I'm running a cyclical business. I've been doing this for 30 years. Do I have the energy and the will to ride out another business cycle?
Mm.
And if the answer is I'm not sure, then I think there's good reason to start planning. I think the big issue today is with baby boomer owned businesses. From certain studies, there's supposed to be trillions of dollars of middle market businesses owned by baby boomers transferring hands over the next decade. And, that's a case where, if a business owner is in his 60s, we might be riding, another business cycle in the next 5 years. Do they have the will to ride through it and continue on with the business?
I've seen some of those studies. They talk about what could potentially be the biggest transfer of wealth in generations. Talk to us a little bit about the potential pitfalls of not planning properly for that.
Yeah, I think it's one of the number one issues in our industry, quite frankly. And it's surprising that most business owners would rather talk about other aspects of their life and not focus on their greatest asset. So I look at it as a challenge and an opportunity. And if done right, family-owned businesses could take care of their families for multiple generations, either via a liquidity event, if planned the right way, or through transferring the business that is run by the next generation. I think there's an awful lot of business owners out there that haven't even considered a transition. My passion is for helping these families make sure that they could protect and grow their largest asset.
Bob, I have a feeling that after this conversation, people are listening now. It's on people's radar screens. You've given us a lot of issues to think about. If people want to have a conversation with you or get this process going, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure. The best way to reach me is via phone, and my phone number is 630-575-2310. Once again, 630-575-2310.
Great conversation, Bob. Come back and join us anytime.
Love to. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Robert Ligon, Senior Vice President of Family Office Services at Widnell, part of Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there.